verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then it goes in talking about how the Lord chastens those that he loves. And there's a lot of spiritual application about that. And the Lord does chasten us. Sometimes it can be because of sin. And a lot of times it's just, it's not a really a chastening, but when he just wants to talk to us, when he wants to get our attention. Because in this day and age, everything else in the world's got our attention. And that's the way Satan has designed it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We pray that you'll be with William down at the Veterans Home. We thank you for these ministries, Lord. Also the Beehive, and then again for the one Bill and Joanne starting a couple of weeks over at the Whitefish. And so, again, we just pray that you would be in control of that, that everything would be yielded to you. And Lord, we just allow you to work through us to accomplish your need. And so, Lord, today we pray for the church here, the ones that are here, and the ones that are coming, Lord, that we will yield to you this morning and allow you to use us. Lord, may we understand and realize that, Lord, coming to church is a great privilege, but Lord, if we leave the same way we come, it's most time it's been in vain. So we need you to deal with our hearts. We pray that everyone again will yield themselves to you and allow you to accomplish what you want in their lives. And Lord, we'll give you the honor and glory for it. For in thy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, again, in verse, if you look at verse 25, that's where we're going to start. He says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. That's a pretty good deal there, what we need to understand. And remember, God is trying to get us to understand that. Let's go up and look at verse 20 and read a few verses before this. For they could not endure. Now he's talking about the Old Testament saints. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain. Now this is again, it's talking about in the book of Exodus that where the elders came up to the mountain, and God wanted to talk to I think there were 60 or 70 elders with Moses and Joshua and them, and they wanted to see God, but they didn't want to see God. They wanted to hear from God, but they didn't want to hear from God. And that's kind of the way we are today. We want to hear from him, but as long as it's under our terms. And of course, when they got there, the sight of it was so terrifying to him. And that's our problem. Again, we want to hear from him, we want to see God, but when God shows up, wait a minute, that's not what I want. I wanted it my way, what I've got in my mind. So it says, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned and thrust through with dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Now, you know, I had to be pretty bad when Moses started shaking in his boots about it. But because remember, he was on the mountain before and saw the whole thing of God. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So again, it's talking about Christ. That, remember, the book of Hebrews, one of your main words is better. That's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to prove to the Jews, that Christ was better in every form, and everything about Christ was better than everything that they had in the Old Testament. And so then, verse 25, seeing that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So he said, now that one that speaketh from earth, this is talking about the humans on earth, which was Moses. And remember, they didn't want to obey Moses. And God, the Lord just saying, now, if you're not going to pay attention to the one that speaks to you for God on earth, what are you going to do when one speaks from heaven to you? And that is so in connection with what we're preaching in the main service, how God speaks to us, you're not going to get it. So in this book, God's Word, is this God's Word? It is, isn't it? We know that. We believe that. Then when I or somebody else is reading from this book, then really it's just as God said it to you. Now, not what I said, but when you read it or someone reads it to you, it's as God is speaking to you. If this is the Word of God. Doesn't matter who it is, you can read it by yourself or a preacher or anybody else. When this book is read to you, it should be, we should pay attention to it, because it's God's Word. It's not the one speaking it, it's God's Word, and we need to understand that. And so it is Word, and it's His Holy Spirit that is sealed within us, and you, so then the preaching should be paid attention to, whoever is doing it, and we're not to refuse it. That's what he's talking about, the one that speaks. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now again, we're talking about what was spoken, who spoke it, and the way we look at it, and how we're going to receive it. And so again, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it doesn't matter who's speaking it or reading it, whether it's you or somebody else, it should be paid attention to. 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecies came not in the old time of the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So he says there, how shall we escape if we don't pay attention? Remember, they didn't escape from it, and they didn't listen to Moses, and it was God speaking what, when was Moses speaking what God told him to speak? Yeah. Okay, so they were denying. Remember, Moses had trouble with this, and all preachers have trouble with it. When it's refused, you're not refusing the speaker. You're refusing the one who wrote it, who it belongs to, and that's the problem. So it says, how shall we escape? Well, you won't. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? So how are you going to escape? You're not. And so verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him, talking about the Old Testament, that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from hearing him that speaketh from heaven. And so that's the way we need to look at it. So in verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth? And again, you remember that when God spoke back there, I mean, the earth shook. I mean, that's the way it was. And he says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. So he's going to shake the heavens also. So there's coming a day when God's going to shake the stars and the moon and the sun and everything out there. I mean, we don't like it when the earth starts shaking, but what about when the whole universe starts shaking? And now the thing that God's getting at is, you better pay attention to that. Well, you better pay attention to that, because God's going to shake the whole universe. And we get, like I say, what we had an earthquake from in Indonesia just the other day. And a volcano erupted, and it caused an underground earthquake in the ocean and caused a tsunami, which destroyed, I don't know, 400 or 500 people. Now, if that happens, what's going to happen when the whole universe is shaken? I mean, we can't even comprehend that. But it's going to happen. You better pay attention to it. And so we need to pay attention. There's coming a day when it's going to happen. God created it. He can shake it when he gets ready to. If God's word can shake the heavens, don't you think that it would should shake your soul when you hear the scripture taught? And that's the whole idea. It should shake your soul and body sometimes if you won't refuse it. It ought to get a hold of you. Look at the hold your place here in Hebrews, but let me get there. But go to Psalms 29. It's talking about shaking the heavens and the earth, and we need to pay attention to it. This whole world is really getting ready to come apart. Psalms 29. And this is Psalm of David in verse 1. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord, now there it is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. Now we'll stop right there. Notice that we're going to read the whole thing, but notice it's the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Now that's the way it would. Now the water there is talking about the water between the second and third heaven. And verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Siren like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. And so we're talking about the Lord speaking and how we respond. Now, when we get in the next service and we know that what we're talking about, in the Old Testament, God spoke verbally to the Old Testament saints. And when he spoke, the most of the time, when he wanted the whole nation to hear, it trembled and the word shook. And everything else. You know, it's a strange thing. Even when Paul was going to Damascus and Christ spoke to him, I mean, what happened? He appeared to him. It was like a loud thunder. Everybody heard it. But you know, when God speaks to us today, he doesn't do all of that. Remember when he spoke to Elijah? Elijah, he was in the cave and it was thundering and lightning and all the winds and everything, and God says, you know, I'm not in that. He's in that still small voice, and it seems like all the thundering and shaking the world and everything is going to get people's attention. Well, today he doesn't do that. He speaks with a small voice inside us today, and we'll get onto more of this later. But God only speaks to a saved person. He only speaks to his own, and we think about that. You'll hear unsaved people talk about how God speaks, and you get on the radio, especially during this time of year, and you're hearing you know, God's a big subject, and that's good, but you hear some strange things about people's thoughts about God. And you'll say, I wonder where they got that from. Well, they got it between their own ears. That's where it come from. But the simple fact of it is God does not speak to lost people. And when God speaks to his people, he only speaks to them one way. And he only speaks to them through their spirit. If they're saved, his spirit indwells them, and God through his spirit speaks to their spirit. And again, and we'll get into this, we've talked about this a little bit, God never speaks to our brain. We don't like that because we think much of our brains. And so, but God never speaks to our brain. Anyway, so let's go on here. But anyway, so we see that God is speaking. And when he speaks, the heavens are going to be shaken. Now go back to, go to Haggai, if you would. That's, that would be after, is it after Zechariah or before? I can't remember. After Zechariah? That's what I thought. I wasn't sure. No? After Zephaniah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, you got Habakkuk. Yeah. Haggai, that's it. Okay. Well, go to Haggai chapter 2, but then I want to read out of our verses back over in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26 and 27. In Hebrews 12, 26, it says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So now, look at Haggai chapter 2 and look at verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, now notice that, and I will shake the heavens and the earth. Now, you ought to circle that, it is a little while. That, when's that going to happen? That right there is your tribulation period, okay? And I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations shall come. Now, what's that? That's Matthew 25, at the judgment of the nations, which is in the tribulation. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, God's voice is going to shake everything, and the desire is to Jesus Christ. And so, go back to Hebrews chapter 12, and again, in verse 26, the writer of and 27, the writer of Hebrews, to this promise that was, it was this was quoted to them over 600 years earlier than Haggai, okay, and says that it is fresh and more ready now than it was then. Why? Because we're closer to what is going to happen. Now, after about 2,000 years, you've gone by since the writer of Hebrews wrote this, and we're closer to this being fulfilled than he was by quite a bit. And so he's got all excited. Now, notice Haggai got all excited about what? Because he thought he might see it in his days. And 2,600 years has gone by. And so and he gets all worked up about that and excited about it. So then we should, that should be our attitude. What? Pay attention to God's word and let it get us excited about it. And because he will shake the heaven and earth. Thank God we'll be viewing it instead of in it. But it's going to happen. And again, the world gets so worked up over little things happening, and I'm not making light of them, but the earthquake that just happened in Indonesia, 400 people, that's tragedy. But what about when the whole universe is shaken? And the whole, or everything in it is shaken? All them stars out there that we can see, and the sun and the moon, and now that's going to terrify you. And praise God, we will be watching it. we won't be in experiencing it, okay? And so that's a blessing of. So back in Hebrews chapter 12 and then verse 27, and this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, and that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Well, now what's that? That's the things of God that can't be shaken. Look at Psalms. Go back to Psalms. Look at Psalms 18. It's a strange thing right in the middle of this Hebrews, book of Hebrews, Psalms 18. God goes into the depth of this thing about basically the last half of the tribulation period. In Psalms 18, look at verse 7. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. Now that's what's going on. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. So we can see, did Christ come the first time? No, he didn't. He came, but he came as a babe, okay? He came as a lamb. This time he's coming as the roaring lion of the tribe of Judah. Look at Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 7. O God, where thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness. Now what's that? That's Battle of Armageddon. The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved. Now you go to Zechariah 12, I think it's 11, 12, and 13, and that actually shows you there when Christ comes back and he lands on Mount Sinai, what's going to happen to it? It's going to split and the rivers go all directions. So the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. And so prophecy can be written in the past tense, and that's what it's doing on here. Again, he's writing prophecy in the past tense and of what's going on. God showed it to them and then told them to write it down, even though they didn't understand what they were writing down. And we know that because in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 12, God told Daniel, he gave him a prophecy, and he said, write it down, seal the book. Daniel didn't understand none of that stuff was going on. What Jason's preaching in the book of Daniel, Daniel didn't understand. Didn't have a clue about it. And so did Daniel get all worked up about it? No. He just sealed a book and God sealed a book until the time for the thing to come useful for the Christians, and it's open, and now we can understand it. And this is the same way with Haggai. He didn't understand what all this was going on. He was just writing down prophecy. He believed it. He knew it was going to happen, but he wrote it as he'd already seen it. And so and we understand that because John, when he was given the book of Revelation, he seen that whole thing and wrote as it's already passed. And so God writes prophecy a lot of times as it's already happened. And to the ones that saw it, it is. So that's what's going on there. And we understand that. Isaiah 53, 3 said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, who's that talking about in Isaiah? Christ. He's prophesying as it's already happened, and it won't happen for another 200 or 300 years. He says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah didn't know nothing about that. We do today. He didn't know nothing about Christ being beaten and whipped and everything. He didn't understand that, but he believed it. And he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of his soul. This doesn't happen for hundreds of years. So the prophets saw it as God showed it to them, and he told them to write it down, even though they didn't understand what they were writing sometimes. And that's exactly what we see going on here. It's just prophecy. Look at Isaiah chapter 2. Christians get all worked up today because they don't understand something in the Bible. And how can that be? Well, God can do what he wants to do. And here, he gave all these prophets things about Jesus Christ. And this is why we always say you can never really truly understand the New Testament until you understand the Old Testament of what's going on. Because it wrote as much about Christ. Well, here we see it. And it's all prophecy, just as if it happened. That's why we believe that all the covenants that was made with Israel, all the promises, all we have to do is look at prophets, the way they wrote about seeing something that they didn't understand. We know all them prophecies will come to pass because it's just as it already happened. And so we can believe that. And we don't have to take them up on the church. They belong to Israel, and they will come to pass. So Isaiah chapter 2, look at verse 19. And they shall go into holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terrible the earth. Now, you really think Isaiah thought knew any? Yeah. God was giving him this prophecy, but he's going, wow. That's never happened. No, it hadn't. And so we need to understand it. Verse 20. In that day, and there's your context of what it is, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself, to worship to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rock, and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terrible the earth. And of course we know that they pray over in Revelation, it says they pray for the mountains to fall on them just to get away from the wrath of God. Now do you really think Isaiah didn't understand this? Cease from ye man, that's a good thing, whose breath is in his mouth, for wherein is he to be accounted of? So, cease ye from men. You better find out what this book says for you and not be listening to some man that doesn't know what he's talking about. But go by what the Word of God says, because we need to pay attention to that. And we know that. Let's look at some more scripture. Look at Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. Look at verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger. These folks that think they want to go through the first half of the tribulation or something, God has not appointed us to wrath. Now notice that he says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh. The day of the Lord is the second coming. And he's coming with cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. He just means what he says. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Wow. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the gold of wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Wow. That's going to be tough, man. Isaiah 24. You get from Isaiah on. Isaiah is a major prophet. But when you and then you get to Isaiah and Jeremiah, and he was a major prophet. But then you get into Ezekiel and Hosea, Joel. Them are called minor prophets. But from about Isaiah on, it's all doctrinal stuff pretty well. I mean, you look at the first 42 chapters of Isaiah, and what's it about? It's about the old. It's about Israel. God dealing with Israel. What's chapter 42 to chapter 66? It lines right up with the New Testament. And so, but Isaiah 24, and look at verse 18. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. Now, remember one time the windows of heaven were opened before, and what happened? We had the flood, right? And so the earth is utterly broken down. Now, we talk about our vehicles getting broken down. What about the earth? It's just broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. Now, what do you think that's going to cause? The earth, well, let's see how far we want to go. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and it's just nothing. The God's going to just take it away. And the transgressions thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day, there's your context, that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and that's satanic powers, okay, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. So they're all going to be, so you can run, but you can't hide. What? When talked about over in Hebrews, when he shakes the world again. Look at, go to Joel, right after the book of Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And then you got Joel. Joel chapter 3. Look at verse 15. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. See, he's roaring like a roaring lion. And utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel, the ones that will receive him. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through her any more. And then you're dealing with the millennial reign. Go to Isaiah 66. Just a couple of verses here. Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, look at verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So there he is. You get the second coming of the Lord, how the earth's going to shake from his voice, and then you got the millennial reign. So there's going to be a lot of things passing away. Look at 2 Peter. We'll close here. 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Oop, I'm in John. Sorry about that. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Is that what I want? Yeah. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works there that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that you have, now notice here, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversations and good godliness? looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, and then so it goes on there, that talk, and then go back to Hebrews chapter 12. And so he says in verse 27, and this word yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. The kingdom of God is not going to be shaken, okay? Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Amen. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God, a God acceptable with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So there's what you got going on. So, all right, let's any questions about it?